Hey friends, welcome back to another Seed Talk with Lisa and Lane. Hey Lane.
Hello.
Friends, we are bringing back another little topic here today, but before we jump into it, I just want to remind everybody that I don't know if you've heard the word, but Lane and I have launched a new course called Cool Flowers from Seed to Harvest. Y'all, this is Cool Flowers on steroids.
Yeah.
This is taking away, answering all the questions that we have just heard over and over again from the Seed Talk audience, as well as others. And this is like the most amazingly comprehensive, inclusive, instructive course. And Lane has just done a beautiful job, just like she does here on Seed Talk, right? Just bringing it all together so beautifully. And friends, we just want to remind you, it's available now over at thegardenersworkshop.com. And remember that our online courses, once you purchase them, they're yours for life. You just have to have internet access, log into your library, and your course is there for you to use as a reference tool after you'll storm it. And I invite you to go over there and watch the little trailer video, as well as you can request the free session to get a little taste, right, Lane, of what's inside there. We can't wait to hear what y'all think about it. So what's our topic today, Lane?
Well, today we are going to be going over our warm season planting checklist. So back in episode 49, we did a Cool Flowers fall planting checklist, and now we're going to update that to be a warm season checklist because there are very different conditions and planting times when we're starting those seeds. So that's what we'll be going over today.
Cool. So, all right, Lane, let's get started.
All right. So the first item on our checklist is going to be to determine when to plant and then count backwards and calculate when you actually need to sow your seeds. And Lisa, you don't typically direct seed any warm season flowers, so we're just going to be focusing on transplants here.
Right.
So when do you recommend people plant outside for their warm season tender annual plantings, Lisa, in relation to their last expected frost date?
Sure. So what I'm looking for is for when that frost date has passed and when nighttime temperatures are hovering at or above 60 degrees Fahrenheit. What that's an indicator of is the soil temperature. And I don't use a soil thermometer. I have just found air temperatures to be very easy to follow and universal for folks. And it works really well. So I'm looking for that nighttime temperature. So easy, right? We can be having 80 degree afternoons and our nights are still 50 degrees here or 45. And that's just too, it's not going to kill your transplants, but it doesn't make them very happy.
As a flower farmer, Lisa, you often take some risks and try to kind of push the envelope with how early you can plant out. What are some ways people can plant out and provide their plants with some extra protection if they want to push the limits of planting out a tiny bit earlier, like maybe at their frost date?
So if you're willing to take some steps to cuddle, do a little cuddling, then surely we use hoops and row covers, as well as we use that biodegradable film with the black side up when we install it, which just helps to warm the soil just a little bit. And so, you know, again, we don't put all of our eggs in one basket. So you don't plant your entire garden early and then get hit with a late frost or issue. We do from time to time plant early, but then we do immediately take steps to protect them, and we hoop and cover them, which really concentrates the sunshine and the heat and protects the plants from the wind. That little slow spring cool wind is not the friend of your warm season tender annuals. And that can make a really big difference. And we do that often. We were always trying to get everybody in the ground early, you know, to get flowers earlier, yada, yada. And we did it with great success, but we took all those steps to ensure their success.
So for planning purposes for warm season seeds, would you recommend people set their target transplant date about 2 weeks past that last expected frost date, just to include a bit of a safety buffer?
Yeah, and that's what, you know, the local newspaper garden writer for years. So our last frost date is typically mid-April. She would always say, don't ever plant your tomatoes until we're into May. So it's about 2 weeks after. And what you're waiting for is for those nighttime temperatures to warm up, which indicates that the days are warmer and the soil has had time to kind of catch up a little bit to the air temperature.
And then once you know that planting date, you can then calculate when you actually need to sow your seeds. And just remember that that depends on the seed you're starting as well as the seed starting method you're using. So if you're soil blocking versus starting in plug trays, the timing might be slightly different there. And we have an entire episode on seed starting and transplant timing. And that's back in episode 25 if you need some help calculating your seed starting dates.
So true. And I always say I err on starting later than earlier.
Yes.
This year, we particularly are a little bit later, and I'm so grateful because it's still pretty chilly and it's not going to be planted on time. And you just get your transplants are beautiful and they quickly grow and they keep growing, and it's still too cold or you don't have room or it's too wet and you really lose that momentum of beautiful transplants quickly.
All right, so our next point is going to be to determine how much seed to start. So Lisa, for your warm season seeds, you only transplant. You don't actually direct seed anything. So how much seed do you start for your warm season things compared to the number of plants you hope to ultimately end up with?
Sure. So as a general rule, we usually start twice as many seeds as plants we want to end up with, because stuff just happens, whether they don't all germinate or some are just punier than others, because I want the very best transplants planted out in the garden. And that's what really just gives you the best, healthiest plants. And so we will either compost those extras, but oftentimes they're punier or just, you know what I mean? It's like once you get in the habit of doing that, you really see the reward. But if it's an expensive seed, one of those really higher end seeds, we might only start typically 10 to 20% additional. Typically, those seeds also have better, stronger germination. And so you don't really need to start that many more.
The other thing too is similar to what you were just saying, certain seeds just germinate at higher rates a lot of times naturally. And just note to yourself, if you consistently get really good germination on something like sunflowers, for example, maybe you don't need to start quite so many of that seed if you really are consistent about getting the number that you're after.
Yes.
All right, now we're on to number three, which is going to have to do with the growing conditions in your actual grow room. And it's going to be to adjust your heat mat setup and the conditions in that growing space. So back in our cool flowers fall planting checklist, we talked about how we recommend putting your cool flower seeds on a cookie cooling rack on the heat mat to take the edge off of that heat just a little bit, and how the temperature in your growing space, we recommend being around 65 to 70 degrees Fahrenheit. So how does that setup get adjusted now that we're switching over to warm season plantings?
Yeah, so funny, because we're literally in the midst of doing that right now. And so now, where all these last 2 months, we've been very conscious of leaving our grow room door open, which allows better ventilation, keeps the air temperature cooler, more like 60 to 65 degrees in there. Now, by simply just closing that door or leaving it just barely ajar, just traps the heat from the grow lights, the heat mats, all of that is in that room, as well as there's windows. So the combination of all those things really heats up. And I feel like that really attributes to how quickly our transplants grow.
Yeah. And I was just in your grow room last week and I commented that I would love to be a seedling in that grow room. It was nice and cozy.
It is very cozy. When we're just coming in from outside where it's cool and windy, you just walk in there and feel like you've arrived home. It's great.
So what are the temperatures that you're aiming for in that room? And then how do you use the heat mat for starting your warm season seeds?
Sure. So 75 degrees is what I would love to have, but it definitely gets warmer in there in the afternoons. And good point about the heat mat. So heat mats have built-in thermostats, which they function off of the air temperature is what gauges how warm they get, 15 to 20 degrees warmer than the air temperature. So you don't want your room to get but so hot. Once we start climbing, you know, to 80, 85, and 90 degrees outside, you know, from sun up to sundown, then we start leaving the door open again, because the heat mats would be so hot that then you start impairing the seeds from germinating because they're cooked. They're just too hot.
So in general, you can go ahead and put your trays of warm season seeds directly on the heat mat until around 50% of the seeds show any signs of germination, including cracking, at which point you'd want to move them off the heat mat and under grow lights. But like Lisa mentioned, if you do have room temperatures that are much warmer than what we've discussed, you may need to adjust your heat mat setup accordingly, or even eliminate the heat mat altogether.
Yes. You know, it's so very interesting too, that this time of the year, there's no algae ever or mold growing on the soil blocks because of the heat. You really experience that 24-hour wet to dry cycle that we talk about.
Yes.
It's in the cool times that people struggle with that. And I just want to point that out, that people should really pay attention. It's like, this is what you need to figure out for your cool season stuff, you know, to have it
right.
warm enough that they go through that cycle.
Okay, our tip number four for your warm season plantings is to be sure to harden off your seedlings. It's always important to harden off your seedlings, but it's especially important when we're doing plantings in the summertime. What do you have to say about hardening off warm season plantings?
Yeah, I harden off longer than shorter when it comes
right.
to warm season. It's just so amazing how you can take what looks like a very nice, healthy little transplant that's only been sitting outside for 2 days, and you feel like it's a warm day and you really have time today and you're not going to have time next week. I'm going to plant it. And by the end of the day, they're toast. They
Yeah.
aren't acclimated to the wind, the heat. And so I am a big 10 to 14 days is what I'm looking for the warm season tender annual seedlings to be hardened off. Cool season, you don't have to be quite so fretful over, but for warm, every time we do it shorter, I am sorry. I mean, you'd
Yeah.
think I would have learned by now, but we haven't.
And we've mentioned before too, I really like in the summertime, once my seedlings get going just a little bit, I go ahead and move them outside. They can do a lot of their growing right outside during the summertime.
Yes, for sure. If you have a protected place to put them where you don't feel like the wind, we have the wind blocked and all that. Yes, you're exactly right. Get them out there as soon as you can.
What temperatures are you comfortable putting warm season seedlings outdoors to harden off? And when would you say it's too cold and you might temporarily bring them back in?
So anything below 60 degrees is too cold. And it's like, again, it's not going to kill them, but it's certainly not helping them, and it's stressing them. And stress just opens the door to disease later in life even. So if it's below 60, if it's going below 60 at night, we're already starting this game here on the farm. We're out of room in the grow room. We need to start moving stuff out, but it's still too chilly. And so we start the in at night, out during the day, in at night, out during the day. And so if it's dropping below 60 at night, they come in. And if it's above 60 and sunshiny during the day, they're outside.
I do know some people, depending on where they live, maybe they don't see that high of temperatures until much later in the season. So they may need to slightly adjust that for their conditions. But definitely warm season plants, they like it warmer and they're going to perform better when they're warmer.
Yes, for sure.
Okay, now we're going to talk about item number five on our checklist, which is to have plans in place for weed prevention and irrigation. A lot of times with our cool season flowers, watering is not as important. You know, you're planting in fall, they're going over the winter. I don't know about you, Lisa, but I rarely even have to do additional water for those plantings, but it's really critical for your warm season plantings. So what do you have to say about weed prevention?
Yeah, weed prevention is the number one I think of before we ever even build a bed. How are we going to prevent weeds? Because who has time for weeds? Nobody ever
right.
has. I don't care how many helping hands you have. That's just not, it's not necessary. So weed prevention, that's why we use the biodegradable film, which basically is as effective as plastic, but it is biodegradable, and it just does an excellent job of suppressing those weed seeds that are on the surface of the bed. So it blocks light so they don't even germinate. And so that is a huge, huge piece of the pie for us. So that's the number one thing, is how are we going to maintain the pathways and how are we going to prevent weeds from growing in the beds? Because we have too many flowers to cut, to sell, to harvest, to, you know, the whole nine yards, deliver.
And the biodegradable mulch you use, Lisa, typically has a light side and a dark side. Could you just talk about how you decide which side to put up for your warm season planting?
Sure. So usually, depends on the year. Normally, that very first planting, like right at our last frost date, normally it's black side up. because it's still not super hot in the afternoon. If it's going above 80 degrees in the afternoon, that surface, if it were black side up, would get really hot really quickly. So if we are really going to be able to get our first planting in close to the last frost date or even a little before, kind of cheating it in, I would do the black side up. What you're looking at here, this would be a classic summer planting beds where it's the white or the light gray side up, and they reduce the surface temperature significantly on the surface. And you know, that way you can go out there and plant your hardened off seedlings with little to no loss.
And making sure you can get water to those beds is also just critical. So whether you have a hose that you're dragging over there or you have drip tape installed, it's just really important to know that you're going to be able to water your beds when necessary.
Yeah, I mean, nothing is worse than putting your bed, you know, in the back 40 where there's no water. And when you plant the bed, you know, it's spring outside and it's not very hot and you drag the hose. But then in July, when it's 92 and when your plants need water more than ever, you just don't feel like dragging the hose out there. And that's the demise. You just, I mean, again, I think of weed prevention, irrigation, I think of those things before the beds are even made and planted, but more than I think about what am I planting there. So that just makes a real, because you, it's their lifeline.
All right, and then the last item on our checklist is just to make sure to plan your successions. So
Yes.
there are lots of benefits to succession planting. We could do an entire episode on just that topic, but we just wanted to point out that rather than planting everything out all at once, you should definitely be thinking about reserving some of your bed space and planning to plant at multiple intervals to make sure you have an extended bloom time overall.
People struggle with this, and it's because we make it so complicated, and it really can be very simple. And yeah, it's the secret to every farmer's success, whether you're a vegetable, an herb, or a flower farmer. Succession planting stretches out the harvest, the work, the seed starting, everything. It's just the real key piece of being successful.
Lisa, do you have everything marked on your calendar in advance of the season even starting? Do you know when you're going to be starting each round of zinnias or celosia? How does that work on the farm?
We have a good idea. I mean, there's a lot of things that affect that. And so we have blocks of beds, and we say, all right, the first succession's going there, and then the second succession's going over here. And we know what we want in that recipe or what plants, which colors are going in there. It's not super detailed, but it's detailed enough to guide us to what we need to do, what seeds we need to have, and when we need to start them.
What are some of the ways you prevent weeds in the beds that aren't being used right away? Maybe they're going to be for a later round of plantings.
We do the bed. We use the biodegradable film. You know, that's one of the greatest things about the film is you can install it and leave it without any holes punched in it yet for plants. And there's water is blocked as well as no light. And that helped. I mean, some perennial weeds will push through, but that'll happen with any kind of covering or mulch. And so you can kind of like make the beds and then just put them in the hold pattern until you're ready to plant.
Okay, well, that was it for our warm season planting checklist. I hope that helped everyone think of some things that should be on their mind when they're doing their warm season plantings. And I hope everyone's looking forward to a summer full of blooms. And thank you so much for joining us again. Be sure to go over to our course webpage, which I've linked in the show notes. And again, get that free session on how to grow Rudbeckia, Black-Eyed Susan. You are going to love it. And you can enjoy the free session whether or not you decide to purchase the course. So just go over there and check it out. And thanks so much again for joining us.
So, friends, I hope you travel on over to YouTube and take a look at the slideshow that Lane put up, some beautiful screenshots of, I mean, some beautiful imagery from the garden that good to go along. And so we invite you to check it out. And all right, Lane, until we meet again.
Bye.
Ciao.